Good morning. Maayong buntag. May buntag. Happy New Year, Living Word IT Park. Happy New Year, Church. It's 2024 na. Time really does fly so fast. We don't know what will happen, no? This year. It's been such a challenging year. Pag-agi sa 2023. But there is one thing we do know, that we have a God who is faithful. Amen? Amen. The one thing that I really loved about what the pandemic gave, or what came out of the pandemic, was that finally we're not required to perform dance presentations sa among workplace, na sa among yearly Christmas parties. No, I'm not sure if you were a victim of that, but I usually am. No, labi na, whenever I transfer to a new company, usually mga freshies, no, sa company, you're required to present dance presentation, and I know a lot of things, but dancing is the worst skill that I have, no. In fact, a friend of mine told me that kato ko ng time nga nanghatag si Lord og dance skills, no, I was nowhere to be found, no. So I was absent. So anyway, and here's also one thing that you might have observed, no? Especially if you're working in a company. They started changing the name of Christmas parties or Christmas celebration into year-end parties, no? Year-end celebration. They started taking away the term Christmas, right? And started just using a different term, no, so to be more inclusive, right? And that is actually sad, but it's not really something that we should be surprised about. And we will learn why as we go through our sermon this morning. And we will be continuing our series in the book of John. And so I'd like everyone to please stand, and we will be reading our passage of scripture for today, John 1, verses 6 to 13. And let's all together read these verses, 1 to ready, begin. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's come before the Lord in a word of prayer. O holy and mighty God, we come before your presence, O Lord, not with prideful arrogance, but with humble hearts, O Lord. And our hearts are humbled, O God, because you have shown to us, O Lord, how you are so pure, how you are so perfect in all your ways. And we, Lord, we are but sinners, Lord, sinners saved by grace. And so we come to you, Lord, with a humble heart and yet with a joyful spirit, O God, for we know, O Lord, that for those whom you have called, whom you have saved, whom you have made your son and daughter, we can come to you, Lord, as children coming to their father, expectant and excited to what you're about to share to us and what you're about to teach us. And so we pray, dear God, that this morning will be a morning of celebration, as it is a reminder, O Lord, that you are indeed a holy God, as our Holy Father. We pray that you would speak to us this morning, O Lord, that you would be here in our very midst, O God, that your Spirit, Lord, will move in each and every heart. You would, Lord, prepare our minds, Lord, and our hearts to receive your very precious words. May we treasure this morning, O God. May we treasure, Lord, every single moment, O God, that you give to us. You truly are a great and powerful and gracious and merciful God. So we come to you and we offer to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please take your seats. Now, last weekend, Pastor TJ preached on the first five verses of the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. He also mentioned that these verses were part of the prologue of this book, all the way down to verse 18. And this morning, we will be studying these verses from 6 to 13, which is what we read earlier. Now, the writer John is, of course, referring to the Apostle John. The writer of the book of John is the Apostle John, the son of Zebedee. He gives an account of himself in other parts of his book, like in chapter 13, verse 23, and in chapter 20, verse 2. Now, I mention this because the passage that we will be studying this morning begins with an introduction of a person with the same name as him, John. Now, this person, of course, is no other than John the Baptist. And so from this point forward, let's just make a distinction between these two Johns as the Apostle John, the writer, and John the Baptist, the person whom the Apostle John mentions as the one who was sent from God. And he gives a few other descriptions which we will encounter as we go along. Now, another description which begins in verse 9 is that whom the Apostle John describes as the true light. This, of course, is referring to Jesus and how the world responds to his coming into the world, which is his creation. Here, we will try to reflect on what it means to reject Jesus and the light that he brings. Finally, beginning on verse 12, the Apostle John introduces the gospel as a spiritual parental relationship, and how only those who accept and trust in Jesus can receive such grace. And so to summarize, these are the three key points that we will discuss. First, the role of the witness. Second, the rejection of the light. And third, the rebirth as God's heir. So first, let's discuss the role of the witness, who in the context of our verses is John the Baptist. Now, I hope you were not like me as when I first joined the children's Sunday service. No, they asked, "Unsay apelyido ni John?" No, ako nga, "The Baptist." No, dili na niya apelyido. No, "The Baptist is not John's last name." In the same way that Christ is, of course, not the last name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. But the name John is derived from the Hebrew name Yohanan, or in its longer form, Yehohanan, meaning Yahweh has been gracious. And he was called the Baptist because he called his followers to go through a ceremony of baptism to demonstrate the repentance of their sins. Now, Jesus and John the Baptist had actually a few things in common. So, like Jesus, John the Baptist's birth was quite special. In fact, it was recorded very meticulously in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. Like Jesus, his birth was also foretold. And it includes the appearance of angels and a proclamation of an angel to Zechariah, who is John's father. Now, his birth, of course, was not a virgin's birth, not like Jesus. But considering the age of Elizabeth, John's mother, when she gave birth to John, it was miraculous, to say the least. Just as Jesus' life and ministry was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53, John the Baptist's role was also prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, as the voice of one crying in the wilderness who will prepare the way of the Lord. And just like Jesus, John the Baptist and his ministry actually became known very far and very wide, and even continued after his death. In fact, the Apostle Paul encountered some of John the Baptist's followers in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. Now, the reason why I mention all these information is because even though John the Baptist had quite a number of parallels to Jesus, and by all accounts, we can actually say that he had a very successful ministry, even with all these things, he was still just a man and nothing more. And John the Baptist himself knew this, and he acknowledged this, not just with words, but with his actions in the way he lived his life. From his clothes, which was only a garment of made of camel's hair and a leather belt, to his food of locusts and wild honey, to where he lived, which was in the wilderness for most of his life. Here, church, we see a man who knew that there was nothing in this life worth keeping. Nothing in this life that was worth more than his life's purpose. Here was a man who knew his mission, who understood that he was not here to be a celebrity. He was not here to become famous. He was not here to be wealthy or to live a comfortable life. No. He knew exactly who he was. He was simply a witness. And knew exactly what he was called to do, which was to bear witness and to testify about the light. Church, to bear witness is to give a solid account, a sworn statement, or to provide a bold claim about something or someone. And from verses 6 to 8, we can also observe three things with regards to the role of John the Baptist as the witness. In verse 6, we see that first he received and responded to God's calling. John actually had his calling even before he was born. This was prophesied, as I mentioned, multiple times in Isaiah, and later, before he was born, he was an angel gave shared how John would be born and how he would be living his life. And he gave this to his father, the angel gave this to his father, Zechariah. But he did grow up and fulfilled his vow. And when I think about it, I compare John the Baptist with Jonah, who was called to do what God had called him to do, and yet he resisted. He was reluctant, and it could have been something that John would have done. But when he grew up, he was filled with strength and wisdom and spirit, and he fulfilled and responded to his calling. He lived as he was called to live while also preparing for the one he was called to be preparing the way for. Second, he understood the purpose of the one whom he has been called to be a witness of. Now, although the Apostle John, the writer, only mentions it here of Jesus in verse 7, John the Baptist himself proclaims in verse 29 that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In fact, when John the Baptist was called by God to bear witness about Jesus, he knew that there were two things that he had to do. First, he needed to make sure that it was really coming from God's word, that it was really from Scripture. And at that time, they had the Old Testament, and I'm sure he looked at the book of Isaiah. But not only that, he needed to see it for himself. He needed to have a personal encounter with Jesus. Now, the complete testimony of John the Baptist will be a separate sermon in itself, but with quickly looking at verses 23 or 33 and 34 of chapter 1, John declares, "I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this Jesus is the Son of God." And with this, John the Baptist also became John the Witness. When he personally encountered Jesus as the fulfillment of the scriptures, his testimony became complete. His conviction solidified. And finally, the third thing that we observe of John the Baptist as a witness is that he understood that it was not about him, but about the one he has been called to be a witness of. And we see this in verses 24 to 27. But even then, at this point, church, we can see the purpose why the Apostle John introduced John the Baptist in this manner. He wanted to make sure that Jesus was still the focus and the center of the message. He wanted to make sure that Jesus was still in the spotlight and not John or anyone else. But even then, with a strong and grounded testimony about the light, even when John the Baptist fulfilled his ministry, fulfilled his calling, and introduced Jesus to the world, how did the world respond? How did the world react? Sadly, the world rejected the light. Now in verse 9, John the Baptist says that he will give witness to the true light, referring to Jesus. Now to better understand this phrase, let's do a quick word study. Now the word light here is the Greek word phos, which of course refers to Jesus. This light is supernatural in its nature and is often used in relation to God. It also refers to truth and understanding. And both of these concepts are concepts that we will see throughout the rest of the book of John, the light. And even more interesting here is the Greek word for the word true, which is alethinos, which means something of equal in every possible respect, sharing the same nature and reality. In other words, church, true light means that not only did Jesus have a supernatural radiance, he himself was the very form of light. He wasn't just the source, he was the light. Through him, everything in this universe is illuminated physically, spiritually, and in all other aspects. And without Jesus, without the light, there will be complete darkness. And this is what the Apostle John is trying to indicate here in verse 9, that the true light is coming into the world. Why? Because the world is in darkness and in need of the true light. In verses 10 and 11, we see that this darkness that distorts the vision of mankind and blinds the world from the truth causes it to reject the true light. These two verses are parallels and speak of the same tragic story of how the creation rejects its creator, how a people, a kingdom rejects its king, and how those who are enslaved in their sin rejects its savior. And like I said, you don't have to look very far. The cancel culture of today includes now, without any reservation, the canceling of Christ himself. In the States, I've been told that Thanksgiving is a much bigger holiday than Christmas. They have this thing called Black Friday sale. Are you guys familiar with the Black Friday sale? It's something that all of the stores in the States hold. This is right after Thanksgiving, right? They have sale for all their products, and it's much bigger than any kind of sale. Not much bigger than even Christmas sale or anything like that. Now, the good thing about Philippines is we only have the 12-12 Shopee, no? And 11-11. Okay, hopefully you're always marked safe for those sales. But it's not just the cancel culture, because it gets worse. Because the greatest rejection of this world is its refusal to have anything to do with Jesus and the relationship that he offers to us. Looking again at verse 10 and 11, and including the part of verse 12, we see three phrases that refer to what having a genuine relationship is all about. To know him, to receive him, and to believe in his name. But church, the world does not want this. Doesn't want to have anything to do with this. And the main reason is that the hearts of men have grown so used to darkness that we would much rather be blind than be convicted of our sin and all our wrongdoing. Jesus says in Mark 7, verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." And all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Romans 3, chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 says, "As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one." And this is the reality about the world today, church. For those of us here who have already received salvation in Christ, this is who we were. And for those here who have not yet received Christ, this is who you are now. You are in darkness. No one is righteous. We were all guilty of rejecting Jesus in our lives at one point or another. Every fiber of our sinful nature is always trying to reject Jesus. And we need to be reminded of this truth, my dear brothers and sisters, because we cannot begin this year. We cannot begin 2024 by climbing on our high horses, by becoming vain and conceited of whatever spiritual accomplishments we were able to achieve in the past years, or by starting to believe that we can go through 2024 on this year on our own. No. We need to daily ask for Jesus to reign in our lives, or else on our own, we will deny him of his kingship. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We are all like sheep that have gone astray, turning to our own ways." Without Christ, church, we are blind. Blind and in darkness. And those in darkness will always reject the light. But there is hope, church, even for the world and even for those who are still in darkness. Because in the last two verses of this passage, verses 12 and 13, we find our hope. It says that, but to all who receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 12 is in direct contrast to verse 11, in which the world received Him not, rejected Him. And so therefore, those who are in darkness, those who reject the light, are not the children of God. Church, this is a sad truth, but not everyone here this morning, here in our sanctuary, not everyone here has God as their Father. And when I was studying this, I started to think, dapat magbantay-bantay na ko kinsa kong tawgon nga bro, or sis. Because some of us may not yet even be followers of Jesus at all. And so you were never really a child of God. Pero alam mo ka-offend kung tawgon ng tamog bay, no? Or oy. But it is something that we need to reflect on. It is something that we need to think about. In fact, the question here is this: who here is a child of God? To answer that, let's start with going to John 8:34-36. Jesus tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The Son continues forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." There's this bridge in a song that I really love. "Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed." In other words, if you are still a slave of the sin, then you are not a son of God. If you have not been freed from its bondage, wherein when you commit sin, there is no conviction, no repentance. In fact, you enjoy it and you even justify it. Then you are still enslaved by sin, and therefore you are not a son of God. When you are a son of God, you will continue in the house of the Lord forever, which is a description of what eternal life is all about. To be with the Lord forever. And so what needs to happen to become a child of God, to receive eternal life? Well, first, we need to recognize the main obstacle that hinders us from becoming a child of God, and that is sin. Sin is what we normally do when we are in darkness. It is the essence of a life that continuously rejects God. R.C. Sproul states it clearly: we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And when we sin, we die. Spiritually, and of course, eventually, physically. And because we are dead in our sin, we cannot do anything that will ever save us from the penalty of sin, which is to suffer for all eternity in hell. Dead people can't bring themselves back to life or give life to others. And so sin is our greatest obstacle because it spiritually kills us. Looking back at verses 10 through 12 again, remember the three things that relate to having a relationship with Christ: know Him, receive Him, and believe in His name. So to simplify, we use the acronym KAT. Knowledge, acceptance, and trust. Knowledge is to know Him. Acceptance is to receive Him. To trust is to believe in His name. And for those of you who have been attending our Discover Christianity small groups, you might recognize this as in one of the topics, as the way to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, which is why we say that salvation is simply having a genuine relationship with Christ. to know Him is to learn about Him and to understand Him based on what the truth of the Scripture tells us of Him. To receive Him is to wholeheartedly accept and acknowledge what we have come to know about Him, to embrace the very person of Christ. And finally, to believe in His name is to trust in Him alone and on His finished work on the cross alone. Not on whatever good you may have done, but on the forgiveness that Christ purchased for you with His precious blood when He died on the cross in Calvary. This, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, is what faith is. And even this faith is a gift from God. For it is what Christ gives us as we receive the right to become the children of God. When we become children of God, we become heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, as Paul says in Romans 8:17. And as heirs, we receive the spiritual treasures and the blessings that our Father freely gives to us. Love, joy, peace, and hope, just to name a few. But perhaps the blessing that all of us will definitely be so grateful for is to just be with Him. Just to be in His very presence, worshiping Him and honoring His name for all eternity. Now, Apostle John also clearly states that becoming a child of God is not earned through any form of birthright. Not through family lineage, which is what he says, by flesh and blood or nepotism. It is a gift that is received by those who understand that you and I are wretched. That you and I are hopeless in our sin. And who with absolute desperation cry out to Jesus to come and save them. And so, church, as we end this sermon, can we all just ask this question to ourselves? Am I a child of God? Are you a child of God? Have you come to know, accept, and believe in Christ today? Church, there's no better way to start 2024 than to let these truths examine our lives. For if we are truly God's children, if our profession of our allegiance to Jesus is genuine and real, then this should translate to a lifestyle of joyful obedience and an active pursuit of a deeper and more intimate relationship with Christ. And for those of you who have come to realize that you may not be a child of God, that you are not a child of God, that you are still in bondage to your sin, friend, there is no better way to start 2024 than to turn away from your sinful life, to come and accept and believe in Jesus, and to follow Him for the rest of your life. Turn away from the sinful year of 2023 and go after Jesus. Run after Him. Know Him. Surrender to Him completely. At this point, I'd like to ask everyone to just bow your heads and to close your eyes. And for a few moments, just reflect on the message of the gospel. The true light came into the world, and yet the world rejected Him. Have you been rejecting Jesus? Have you been rejecting the true light? Let Him illuminate your life. Let His light give you life. And may this day be the very day that you come to Jesus in faith. And for those of us who have come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, let these truths remind us of who we are. How we are just sinners before Him. We are just people who have been saved by grace through faith, not of our works, but only as a gift that we have received. And let this be your motivation. Let this be your driving force to serve Him, to honor Him this year. There's so much work to be done, church. And the Lord is calling upon His witnesses. For it wasn't just John who was the witness. But you and I, followers of Jesus, are witnesses as well. We have been called to be salt and light. This is the year that we must seek for Jesus and to bring Him to people who are still in darkness. Father God, we thank You for this wonderful morning that You have given to us, O Lord. Just to be able to call You Father, to be able to call You our Abba. Lord, it's such a humbling thought, O God. Just to be able to even study or read Your word, Lord, it's such a humbling experience, Lord, because You did not need to speak to us, O God. You did not need to give Your word to us, Lord. You would have been silent and You would have still been God. But Lord, You loved us, O God. You loved Your creation. You love Your creation, Lord. And You wanted us to know You. You want us, Lord, to come and seek You. For in You we will find our joy. In You we will find our hope. And You want Your children to come to know You. You want Your creation to be Your sons and daughters, O God. And again, Lord, our hearts are humbled. And so, Lord, our prayer, O God, is that our church, Lord, may we be reminded that it's not really our church, O God, it's Your church. And we are just here to gather as fellow believers, as fellow sons and daughters, as siblings in Christ. Because that's what a family does, Lord. We come together. Even despite our differences, even despite our failures and misunderstandings, O Lord, we come here. Not because of who we are, but because of who You are. You are our Father, and You bless Your children, Lord. You make us new, O God, every day. You change us, You mold us, You prepare us. You walk beside us. You heal us. Lord, truly, if there is one thing that we know about You as our Abba, that You have never left us. That You have always been there for Your children. And so this year, O God, our prayer, Lord, is that You will continue to walk with us, Lord, as You have always done. And that we, Lord, we would be people who will walk together beside You. That we would not lose our way, Lord. That we would not give in to pride or ourselves, O God. But we would continue, Lord, to be watchful of our hearts, O Lord. Because this heart, Lord, this heart still inclines itself to sin, O Lord. Lord, 1,000 times, Lord, we have failed you. 1,000 times we have sinned against you. But when you allow us to repent, Lord, when you give us that gift of repentance, Lord, we can pick ourselves up and walk together with you again. And so we pray, Lord, that as a church, again, Lord, you will be the center of our lives. You will be the center of Living Word IT Park, O God. That you will be the center of our ministries. That you will be the center of our pastoral team. That you would be the center of our leadership. That you would be the center, Lord, of every single human being, Lord. Every single son and daughter, Lord, that have come here, O God, to worship together with us. And we pray even right now, O Lord, because we know, Lord, that when your gospel is preached, there is always one soul, Lord, that you have prepared, O God. Souls, Lord, that you have prepared, Lord, to be able to respond to it. And so right now, O Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here in this congregation, O Lord, who are still in darkness, who are still enslaved in their sin, that they would surrender, Lord, to you. That you would bow down to you, Lord, and say, you are a holy God. I am a sinner through and through. There is nothing I can do to break myself from the bondage of sin. I am dead in it. But I call upon the name of Jesus and I ask that he would save me. That you would wash me clean with your blood and clothe me with your righteousness. So I accept his free gift of salvation and I give myself, Lord, completely and wholly to you. And so this morning, I consecrate myself for you alone. Lord, may you save souls today. Not just in this church, O God, but in every place where you are present and you are, Lord, working. And where your gospel is preached. And may you alone, O God, be glorified alone. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.